I'm talking to the veterinarian. Yes, I am. I've got some great guests. And before I introduce them, I've got a whole bunch of guests, actually a whole room out there full. So maybe we'll talk with two and then get two more, because this is a big issue. It was such an issue that the Sacramento Bee decided to do an editorial on this. The editorial, I'm going to read it quickly. It's very short. And then we are going to dissect it. We were hoping to also have Assemblyman Lloyd Levine with us today. We graciously said he would be, but then unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you see it, Fabian Nunez, the Speaker of the House, called for a caucus of the Democrats, so he could not be with us. But we'll get him here, I think, next week on this issue and others. Okay, here's the editorial. So much for California's reputation as a melting pot. I think they mean human melting pot. A well-intentioned bill that seeks to rid the state of too many cats and dogs, if approved and enforced, would lead to a state of only the purest bred pets. The elegant lady would be welcome. The raffish tramp would become a dog of the past. At this point, I'm spitting out my coffee. Assemblyman Lloyd Levine, Democrat, Van Nuys, is the sponsor of Assembly Bill 1634. It would prohibit any person from owning or possessing any unaltered cat or dog over the age of 4 months. A major exception is if the owner possesses an intact permit. In other words, a permit to keep an animal intact in the reproductive sense. Which cats and dogs qualify for such permits? Under AB 1634, cats and dogs could legally procreate if they were registered as a purebred with a pedigree from either the American Kennel Club, the United Kennel Club, the American Dog Breeders Association, or the International Cat Association. I had no idea there was one. This is a bone being thrown at the breeding industry, with the mongrel relegated to the black market. The overpopulation of cats and dogs is a problem with no easy solution. And you'll note the bee doesn't propose any solutions. Nobody owns the tens of thousands of feral cats that, well, reproduce like animals. So AB 1634's neutering mandate doesn't touch them, nor does it solve the problem of chronically underfunded and understepped county animal control operations. Important topic, wrong approach. The right one will come at a price. So, as I'm spitting out my copy at this point, because it's such an inane and insane editorial, I decided to get some guests on about this. Tell me if I get your name right. Dr. Alan Drusis?
That's very good.
Is that good? Yes, what is it really?
Well, Drusis. So it's Drusis in Lithuanian.
In Lithuanian?
Since we're not in Lithuania.
That's right. Okay, great. And you are a doctor of veterinary medicine down in Riverside County, California.
Correct.
All right. And Judy Mancuso. Judy Mancuso, give us your curriculum vitae. What is your interest in this bill?
I am the campaign director, and my interest is in saving animals' lives and saving money in the state of California.
Well, and so you are supporters, both of you then, of AB 1634. Let me just tell you my first take on the B editorial as a jumping off point. This idea that a lady would be welcome, the raffish tramp would become a dog of the past. First of all, even if AB 1634 passes and then it becomes, in effect, illegal to have a dog who is not spayed or neutered unless you have one of these permits, the actual impact will be there will still be tens of thousands of dogs who aren't spayed and neutered. You will still have an immense population. You'll just have some number fewer. And to me, that's a great step in the right direction.
Actually, it's not tens of thousands. Hopefully, it'll be hundreds of
hundreds
thousands.
Hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, where we're at, and I don't think that folks who have, you know, looked at what this bill might be, and I know that they're going under a lot of false information right now, because when I read some of the folks' opinions on it, I'm like, whoa, the bill doesn't do that at all. So the first thing that I'd like to explain to you is just how large this problem really is. In the state of California in 2005, we brought in over 841,000 dogs and cats into our shelter system. That is the contracted county and city shelters. So that does not include the ASPCAs,
right.
The rescue groups. So
right.
It could well be a million animals.
Probably and, well over a million in my
absolutely.
My guess.
And we euthanized, killed over 430,000 in those city and county contracted shelters. And the reason why I keep going back to that is because those are the only numbers we have, because they are required to report for rabies control. So we have visibility to those numbers. We can talk about those numbers. We don't know the numbers, how many are coming into the rescue groups and into, you know, different ASPCAs and whatnot. We don't have those numbers.
And I would say that huge number, any number's too much, but that huge number is due to human ignorance and humans not having control of the situation. Doctor, how many times have you had the situation where someone has come into your practice and said, oh, I just love this dog. We just want her to have one litter of puppies so the kids can learn what it's like.
That's a quite common impression that people have about dogs and cats. And, yes, it's unfortunate that in this 21st century there still are people that believe that either for the animal's benefit from a health standpoint or some emotional bonding.
He needs
that,
to be a mother.
Well, and the, oh, the family needs
to have
to see
sex.
The miracle of birth.
The miracle of birth, yes.
Yes. So, unfortunately, those kinds of activities still do occur. We can all see the miracle.
But there are homes for all those puppies and kittens, aren't there?
Well, there's the Discovery Channel. I mean, they have the miracle of birth on there all the time.
So you can see it right there. You don't need to put your own animal through this. And there are a number of health reasons as well why, first of all, it's baloney. The animal can be extremely happy and well-adjusted. And as I understand, for female dogs at least, not being spayed, you're going to have a higher risk of canine breast cancer if you haven't been spayed.
But, of course, the risk of mammary cancer in dogs is essentially zero if they're spayed before the first time they come into heat.
And the first time they come into heat is typically about at 6 months?
About 6 months of age, yeah. Depends on the breed and the time of year sometimes and the nutritional status of the animal, but about 6 months.
So, and very often, dogs who aren't carefully watched and protected, et cetera, will get, as they say in the vernacular, knocked up. They'll get pregnant even at that first heat.
Well, because I'm a male as well, I can understand how that happens. I mean, there's a lot of us of the male gender that are always looking for love in the wrong places.
That's right. And so that happens, and then there, here's the family. Oh, we just don't know how it happened, or Trixie got out under the fence. Well, if the dog, you have to look at the world from a dog's eyes. If they see a way to get out, or if a male dog sees the way to get in, there you have a dog that's impacted, and a litter can be anywhere from one puppy to many, 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 many.
That's
many,
correct.
Many
and you know, as animal control agencies all over the state and the country, for that fact, can identify, there are oftentimes properties or addresses from which we impound multiple shelters, multiple litters in succeeding years. So it's the same people sometimes making the same mistakes with the same animals over and over.
At least probably if you look at the statistics that Judy cited, there would probably be about half of those animals are going to be killed in the shelter because no one wants them.
Absolutely. There are not enough homes in California for all these animals. And I did read one opposition posting to that site about the article that you read.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they compared the shelters and the animals into the shelters to our prisons, and that you wouldn't want to adopt a prisoner to someone's home, and therefore you wouldn't want to adopt one of these animals from the shelter into your home, and that's why there's too many and we're killing them. And that is just the craziest thing, one of the craziest things I've ever read. First of all, most of these animals we're killing are puppies and kittens.
Yes.
And they're neonates. They're the ones that are need to be bottled fed.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, we don't have enough people to
bottle
feed those. So they're the ones that get it first, okay, and the puppies and kittens. So that whole argument, I mean, you can't even, or maybe you can believe some of the stuff that I've read that is just so off the Richter
scale. Well, one of the things is that it's too young at 4 months for some breeds, and this bill apparently, have there been some adjustments in the bill, because that's been an objection that 4 months is too young, and yet doctors saying, and other vets, we had another vet called in last hour that say about 6 months, that's when they have their first heat. 4 months, address the question of, have you adjusted the bill to deal with that concern?
Well, I'm proud. I'm going to let Alan speak to this, but I want to tell you that I'm really proud to say that one of the sponsors of the bill is CVMA, California Veterinary Medical Association. And I spoke to the head vet there when we were crafting this language and said, you know, where are we with spay and neuter? What's the best? And 4 months is definitely when you want to spay and neuter. I know from experience from rescued kittens that I've had that when I get them spayed and neutered at 4 months, you know, they're up playing rough and tumble the next
morning. Oh, you're
morning.
Not kidding. You
okay?
bet. Yes. They do very well. They're very resilient at that point.
Yes.
But what about a small breed, doctor, of dog, for example, a particular canine that's pretty tiny at 4 months?
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to do with the
size of the dog.
The size of the dog could be the health, the condition of the animal at, mm-hmm. at 4 months and younger. I think the important point is that in every iteration or version or improvement to the proposed legislation, we have always included a temporary exemption for the health.
For those conditions.
Exactly.
So it's not an absolute. If it's 4 months and 1 day, then you're in violation of the law.
Absolutely not. A matter of fact, the CVMA asked us, we have a piece written in here where we actually give folks up to 75 days post that 4 months, which brings them to 6.5 months. And the reason for this, if the puppy or kitten has a respiratory problem, maybe they're a little underweight.
You don't want to have surgery at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah, you want to get them healthy and
that's
ready to
the first priority is their health, absolutely.
Now, what about breeders? Because I know the breeders are all up in arms about this, but there are mechanisms in this law to allow breeders to do, you know, to breed dogs for profit as a business. And they would have to get what? What's an intact permit, I guess.
Right. When we looked at this and we said, okay, we have to get a grip on this problem. First of all, it's costing the state taxpayers, I should say.
How much does it cost, by the way?
Yeah.
A little segue here.
About $259 million. I'll remind you that that is taxpayer dollars, okay? That's our money. And then out of that, those animals that we euthanized was about $132 million. And in a 10-year period, the estimate is over $2.75 billion. And to think of what we could do in the state of California with that $2.75
billion. To look at it from the fiscal level as well as the humane level, because what we're doing now is we're just sort of allowing this willy-nilly. The Sacramento Bee is waiting for some other bill to come along at some point down the line that may address this problem.
Well, the Sacramento Bee is, in one part, absolutely correct in that there is no simple solution to this.
Yes.
If there would have been a simple solution, all of the animal control agencies throughout the state and the country would have utilized that simple solution, and we wouldn't have a problem.
This is a wonderful step in the right direction.
Exactly. Though. It imparts to those agencies and to the state in
some
general
power.
A little bit of a leverage point to deal with these. It's just one more tool that we can use to help drive the population down so that these fiscal and emotional impacts are not felt by the citizens of California.
And you're not foolish. You don't think that this is going to end the problem, but it's certainly a step in the right direction. So that, and then you educate the public, so when they get a new dog, they realize that spaying and neutering is not only in the animal's best interest, it is in their legal best interest and the fiscal interests of the state, et cetera.
Well, you know, it's not just the fiscal interests of the state. Another hat that I wear, usually two Monday nights a month, is I am the mayor pro tem of the city of Yucaipa. That's a 50,000 inhabitant community east of San Bernardino.
Mm-hmm.
We contract with the county of San Bernardino for animal control services.
Yes.
I happen to work for Riverside County. And if I put on my city council hat, I see a lot of money being expended for animal control. If we simply take the operational budget of Riverside County as an example.
Mm-hmm.
It's about $14 million. If we divide that by the number of impounds we had last year, which is about 30,000, simple math would indicate that each impound cost the taxpayer, these are general fund monies now, cost the taxpayer $400-something. That number is $300-something in the city of Los Angeles. As a taxpayer, I would think that that's outrageous, that we have to pay somebody, pay an organization, it costs them $400 to impound and take care of an animal for what? So that 50% of them, in the case
can
of Riverside, are euthanized.
What would be the penalty? Say somebody, their neighbor is going to rat on them and say, oh, I know they have Fido, and I can see that Fido's still intact, and Fido's at least 2 years old, and it would be a situation that people fear this stuff, that their neighbor would look over the fence and say, I know that dog isn't fixed yet, and I'm mad at that neighbor because they stole my newspaper 3 weeks ago, whatever. What about that situation? What is that, and also how does it get enforced, and how what would be the penalty? There'd be a fee, a fine? In other words, if your animal isn't spayed or neutered.
Yes, it's a fix-it ticket. Literally.
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 This gives new meaning to the phrase a fix-it ticket, doesn't it?
It really does. And what we've done in the bill, okay, the state of California is so diverse, and so what we've done is put the power into the hands of local jurisdictions so that they can say, all right, the fix-it ticket, maybe $500. And let's say $500 is a good number because we want compliance. All right.
You want people to say, look, I can go to that low-cost spay and neuter clinic that's every Thursday for $20, and you can use actually some of the money you get from the fines to fund low-cost spay and neuter clinics.
Absolutely.
Like the students out at UC Davis Veterinary Hospital.
Or provide vouchers to that end so that the public could be free.
So that it's very reasonable and inexpensive and accessible for people to get their dogs spayed and neutered. And if you don't do it,
and
you
cats.
Are... And kitties, too. Yes, the kitties.
Dogs and cats.
You're subject to this kind of fine.
That's right, but we'll waive it. So if you come in and say, hey, I got the kitty fixed, here's my papers from the vet, boom, you're done.
Okay,
we want
so
compliance.
You have an animal control officer that comes out and realizes that Fido still is intact and has been this way for 2 years and gives you this fix-it ticket. You come in and show, look, I went to the low-cost spay and neuter, Fido is fixed. Forget about it.
You're done. You're done
for
a lifetime.
Oh, I love this legislation.
You're done
for
a lifetime. We never need to talk to you again. Of course, dogs have dog licenses they're supposed to come in once a year for. But other than that, if it's a cat, then, you know, yeah, we don't need to deal with you ever again. So it's a good thing.
Now, what about the purebreds, though, and the argument in the editorial in the Bee that Lady would be welcome and Tramp would become a dog of the past?
You know, it's just crazy. I mean, when you look
People will say mutts are better dogs anyway.
Well, they are. Go adopt them. We're killing over 430,000.
There'll still be plenty to adopt.
Thank you. And if we had full compliance, you know, full 100% compliance,
which is impossible,
right? Maybe in 10 years we could say, oh, shelters are empty. You know, we've got to do something about this. But when we're just basing this on voluntary compliance, complaint-driven, the way that, you know, we're going to be able to reach out and enforce this, mutts aren't going away.
No, they're not at all.
Not.
There will just be fewer to be abused and killed.
It's a non-issue. It's a non-issue.
And we don't want to keep neglecting the putties here, the kitties, because they're certainly part of it as well. Okay, so you've got Lloyd Levine. Who else over at the legislature is backing this bill?
Senator Padilla is a principal co-author, and Assemblymember Pedro Nava is also a co-author, and we do have support from Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa.
Good for him.
Yes.
Now, what about the governor? The governor says he likes dogs.
Actually, they're in favor. I mean, I've spoken with them. I can't say that they're supporting the bill, but they have helped me in facilitating the language, the understanding, the fiscal impact. They're good.
Okay, I want to put it out on the table for our listeners. 766-1240. 766-1240. What do you think about a bill? This is AB 1634, where cats and dogs could legally, in other words, if you have a cat or dog and you don't get it spayed or neutered at 4 months, there's a little grace period there for a while. If you don't have it spayed or neutered, and you don't get a so-called intact permit. By the way, how much is the intact permit going
to
cost?
It's up to the local jurisdiction. It could be free. It could be a penny. It could be $50.
Okay.
And I think the term intact permit can be misleading. We would, in Riverside County, would equate an intact permit with a dog license. So in other words, today when you get your dog license, you either pay for altered license or an unaltered license, and that would not change. The licensing structure would not change.
Exactly. So, and what would the breeders have to show? Because we've talked before about the backyard breeders who are just doing this to make a quick penny, and they're really not conscious of all the issues involved. So
we can't solve all the problems with backyard breeders in this bill, and I'm sorry about that, but they are going to have to give us some proof of the purebred, okay? And this is up, again, to the local jurisdiction. And the reason for this is, you know, again, it's a diverse state. So in some areas, there are working dogs. I just learned this recently, the McNabs. And they're not an AKC dog, right? But in certain parts of California, these are meaningful dogs.
And so that would be the local jurisdiction exactly. would decide that
would
that's...
Recognize that breed and impart then an intact license to them, yes.
Okay, we're coming to the end of this hour. Tell me who's... I'm finished with you two. No, really, you've both been great. And I'm really behind this bill in every way I possibly can be. But for some other guests here, who are we going to bring in for the next half hour?
Director Kirsten Gross from Madera County.
Okay. Okay, we'll bring in Kirsten Gross. And she can talk about the practical realities she runs of enforcement, what exactly that's going to mean.
And the emotional toll on her staff of dealing
yes.
with
yes. Oh, my God, yes. It's so interesting. My father, I take care of my dad. He's 91, and he's retired military. So I'm over at McClellan once a week to get all of his food and everything. It's a former Air Force base. It has a commissary. And I'm in the cat and dog food aisle, and this woman comes up to me who recognizes me and says, oh, I got it. And she works over at the city shelter here in Sacramento. There's this great bill. I've got to talk to you about it. We have to talk about this, those of us who work in the shelter. So I heard about this about 2 weeks ago before my good friend Lisa Carter, who is the executive director of the Santa Cruz SPCA and a wonderful, wonderful advocate for the animals, brought it to my attention. So we will talk to Kirsten, who deals with this stuff day to day and the real cost of it all. We'll also take your calls and questions at 766-1240. You're listening to Sacramento's Progressive Talk Station, KSAC 1240 AM, Talk City. Stay tuned.